Dr. Keith, I wanted to say hello and welcome
Hi.
You. And how you doing, man? You're in Santa Barbara.
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
I really loved what you said about Syria, by the way. I just loved it.
You.
I agree with everything that you said. I think it's a deep, incisive understanding. I think that you've nailed it. You got really where Obama personally is thinking and trying to do here. And I 100% agree with everything that you said. I think I'm encouraged, really. I'm encouraged by your analysis, and I'm encouraged by Obama's response. So thanks for doing that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And it's not pretty. I mean, it's never pretty. And clearly the actions that we take could also kill children.
Yeah, of course.
Could also kill innocents.
Yeah.
But these are the sort of calculations that have to be made in order to create a better world. So
yeah.
I trust Obama. It's a little bit like the dog whistle. I mean, I sense in his thinking my thinking. And so
yeah.
I always like the guy who thinks like I do.
Of course. So I got to say, I disagree with some of the stuff you said about Miley Cyrus and sex and stuff. So.
Oh, cool. Well, what do you think of that, Miley Cyrus?
Well, first of all, I'm bitterly disappointed that I've only seen segments of her performance because I couldn't get my damn computer to show me the whole number, which is ironic in that my computer can give me, you know, 2 million hours of pure porn, you know, at the touch of a fingertip. And I can't, you know, like watch. I can't just watch a CMTV award. But from what I saw, I loved it. I thought it was great.
Cool.
I enjoyed it immensely.
Don't think that it's leading our youth astray? I mean, this is Hannah Montana. This is Miley Cyrus. She's beloved by girls, particularly girls who are 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And there she is bumping and grinding up against Robin Thicke, who's singing about back that ass up. But I must say that as a gay man, I did notice that Robin Thicke was either wearing a codpiece or he was very deeply connecting with his material.
Yeah, Stanislavski method.
You know, exactly.
Method acting.
A little bit embarrassing. But then again, I'm 60. You know, what can I tell you?
Yeah, well, you know, it's just, for me...
Well, Keith, actually, let me just stop you here and say, okay, so this sexualization, these young people, this porn experiment, this saturation of pornography, it's actually jaw-dropping what's happened in the last 20 years.
Sure.
In terms of the availability of these images to anybody.
Right.
So what's going on here?
Well, first of all, I think you're right. You know, as we move orange into green, we're going to have a lot more of this stuff happening. It's an inevitable march of history, unless there's some major regression in the culture. There's going to be more explicit language, more explicit images, more explicit talk, and so on. The thing that distresses me about it is that, at least in America, is that images and videos and all that stuff shows up really before there's any systematic conversation in families and with kids and with teenagers and about sex. And so it's the absence, you know, it's very much like Europe and America when it comes to alcohol. In Europe, kids can drink pretty much any time they want, and they drink, you know, they're given little bits of wine at family functions and so on, and they grow up drinking with a multi-generational group, a bunch of them. That produces less alcoholism. It's not an abstinence-based model. It's a harm reduction model, and it's a normalization model. America, you know, you're not supposed to officially drink anything until you're 21 years old, and what do teenagers do? They go out and binge with each other and engage in destructive behaviors. Abstinence models are useless, and harm reduction models, at least in Australia, reduce harm by 21%, which is a significant amount. And
yeah.
So that's true for, you know, America is a land of plenty, right? So most of our pathologies are pathologies of excess, and that's just going to keep on happening as long as America is a wealthy nation, which will continue.
Not just America, the whole developed world, and of course the rest of the world is eager to follow.
Yeah.
I would also point out, Keith, that in the meantime, the modern world, who's created the internet and created this whole big porn thing,
mm-hmm.
is pumping it from satellites into the Middle East, into Africa, yeah. into these pre-modern cultures, and you can see why they think we're the great Satan.
Yeah, right. Well, right.
You know.
Sure, I can, sure, any, you know, you pump this stuff, you pump American culture into any blue culture imaginable, and they're going to conclude that. You
yeah.
know, if you have a Satan, then America is going to be serving them under almost any blue worldview. And, you know,
well,
sorry.
And the story in the, if you think of the Muslims and the sort of pre-modern fundamentalist Muslim, they feel like American women are the ones that are being exploited.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know, they have to parade around in their bikinis and they have to shake their butts at the men, and it's a degrading. And from their point of view, it's us who hate women. From
well,
our point of view,
that's men making judgments about women. First of all, I mean that's a classic, you know, blue fallacy. But you know, belly dancing is something that is done in the privacy of a Middle Eastern, you know, home or party, and the movements in belly dancing are almost all simulated sexual movements.
Yeah, sorry.
You know, they are literally the movements a woman makes who's an active lover. Encased in provocative outfits, making provocative sounds, moving in a provocative way. And so it's fine if you have a belly dancer under the right circumstances, and it's not fine if you have a 16-year-old or an 18-year-old or 21-year-old is wearing next to nothing in a bikini on the beach. The bikini actually is the same garment as a shader. You know, the shader covers everything that's forbidden about a woman, okay? So it happens in the Middle East, happens to be everything except her eyes. In America, a bikini covers everything that's forbidden about a woman. It just happens to
right.
be her vagina, her clitoris, and her nipples, you know? But it's
right.
still the same garment as far as I can see. And so from my perspective, I look at this stuff and I go, you know, you don't put the genie back in the bottle. What you do is you teach the genie how to be a contributing member of genie society. And
yeah.
And so that's what we do with all this stuff. And, you know, part of that is dealing the difference between addiction and healthy use of any substance, including pornography, because they're
yeah.
really different, really different.
You're talking about what you disagree with me about. I'm not necessarily want to argue. I'm just interested in what's the
sure.
distinctions of what part of what I said that you disagree with.
The part that I disagree with is the part that where there's an undertone of profound disapproval, or of disapproval, not profound, but, you know, disapproval of the flood of porn, of disapproval
yeah.
of Miley Cyrus turning into sex goddess on the award show, a disapproval of the excesses. The sexual excesses especially that are now becoming more culturally acceptable in the United States. I personally don't disapprove of those things. I disapprove of addiction because addiction causes a lot of suffering. And I disapprove of not giving kids the proper education and training and tools to be able to have great sex lives because, you know, that's the cultural pathology that goes back forever and has been driving me crazy my whole professional life. But I don't disapprove of all that other stuff. All that other stuff is just exactly what it is. You know, I don't disapprove of that any more than I disapprove of a supermarket. You can go into a supermarket and make yourself obese and eat yourself to death if you are addicted to food. But if you're not addicted to food, you can go into a supermarket and get the stuff that you want and create a healthy life with it, and it works out fine. You know, the internet is a supermarket of porn. So.
Yeah.
The people who have addiction, they go into that, and the porn channels are basically like having, if it be a coke addict, and having a spigot that gives you pure coke coming out of, you know, your wall. Okay, that's not really good for coke addicts, but, you know, if I had a spigot that gave me pure coke out of my wall, I would have never used it because I don't like coke. Okay,
yeah,
so,
well, I think you put your finger on a certain ambivalence that I have and others do about, you know, disapproving of this and having sort of red flags about this whole new sort of super normal stimuli that's being poured into the culture and
yeah.
the danger of addiction. But
right.
yeah, no, I'm all for, you know, I actually do think that we ought to do something like .xxx or something that would be really way easier for parents to control.
Yeah, sure.
Because right now, I don't know how parents control it. I know there are certain programs, net nannies and so forth, and I'm not a parent, so I haven't tried them. But, you know, from what I've read on these websites, you could definitely get around them, and a smart 10-year-old probably will.
Well, of course. I know how I did it. I told my kids, if you go on a porn site, there are certain things that you can click that can get me thrown in jail. So you can't fucking go on porn sites. Their friends would come, and they'd be playing video games, and I'd sit everybody down, and I'd go, look, everybody have a good time, but nobody goes on porn sites in my house, because if you click on the wrong thing, I can get thrown in jail. You're not, but I am, so don't do it. And I'd turn to my son or my daughter, and I'd go, and you're responsible for that not happening. They go, okay, yes, Daddy.
Yeah.
And so that's how we did it, and it worked out pretty fine.